If you'll go ahead and turn to 1 Timothy chapter 3, and find that and just mark that. And then I also want you to find Mark chapter 10. So Mark chapter 10, 1 Timothy chapter 3. And just kind of, we're going to spend most of our morning in 1 Timothy chapter 3, but we're going to close with just a few verses from Mark chapter 10. So if you want to find those. Before I start, I have to tell Lauren, I'm sorry, but you got to come take the hot seat beside your husband here. The whole sermon is preaching to you guys. So, no, I'm just kidding. It is focused today. Today is an exciting day. It's a special Sunday here at Fork Union Baptist Church. Everything's kind of damp in here, and we apologize for that. Our furnace isn't quite working yet, and that's the cost of having an old building. But if it really bothers you, get out your checkbook and write a check to the AC fund, because we're trying to upgrade in here, okay? And we're trying to bring it into the 21st century, but these things are expensive. You're seeing the reason why we're raising that money when everything's sticky and wet in here this morning. So, anyways, that was a cheap shot. We'll keep going. This is a special Sunday that we're ordaining. My friend, my brother, Danny Reed, is a deacon here at Fork Union Baptist Church. He's already been serving, as you can see this morning, as a deacon for the last couple months. But we're finally going to make it official today. I even have a certificate for him if it doesn't get curled up from the damp weather in here. Danny, I want to tell you this morning, as your pastor, as your friend, especially it's Pastor Appreciation Month. If you didn't know that, you're supposed to appreciate me this month. But as Pastor Appreciation Month, if you think about that, if you want to really encourage your pastor, this is how you do it. To see you following the Lord this morning, to see you following God's plan for your life, that's how a pastor receives encouragement. It's because of me, but it just means that he's a part of a church where God is moving and people are allowing them to move in his life. You see, Danny's already been, he's already given us a great example of what it looks like to be a servant and to surrender to God's will and God's calling in your life. Not everybody's going to be called to be a deacon. Not everybody's going to be called to be a foreign missionary. It doesn't matter what you're called to do for God. It's what matters is whether you obey, like we've been talking about in our study of Matthew. I remember the Sunday about a year and a half ago when Danny got out of his seat and he walked up front and he responded to the Lord calling his life. And he said, you know what, I remember him telling me that morning. I said, what's on your heart, brother? I didn't know what he was coming forward for at the end of the service. And he said, I'm tired of fighting it. I put it off for far too long. He said something like that. He said, it's time to publicly profess my faith in Jesus Christ. I want to come forward and I want to be baptized. A few weeks later, I got to baptize him, and here I am today as the pastor of this church, ordaining him as a deacon. See, this is the pattern of someone who is really following God, who's serious about their commitment to the Lord. So I'm going to encourage you with that, brother. It's a testimony, and not just to encourage you, but to challenge all of us that are here, because sometimes we need to see that. It's not something to be taken lightly. Jesus talked about it when he was talking about the parable of the farmer that went out and sowed the seeds and the different seeds that fall along the path. We see it all the time in the church. We see it all the time in life. Someone will come and they'll get baptized, and all too soon the seed that falls on their hardened heart is like the seed that fell on that pathway that was baked by the sun. The bird, which is the devil, comes along and pecks the seed away and it doesn't grow. And then there's other people who will come and they accept the Lord and they're moved and they say, oh man, I want God. But then they're just so tangled up in the world, just like that seed that got in the weeds and the thistles. And the first time their roots don't grow deep. And the first time the sun beats down them and there's a drought, they fall away and they die. But he also talked about a seed that fell on good soil. He said this in Luke chapter 8, verse 15. And the seed that fell on good soil represents good, honest, good-hearted people who hear God's word. They cling to it and patiently produce a huge harvest. Church, what we're seeing here today is the results of the seed falling on good soil. Amen? And Danny, if you just continue to be patient and allow God to lead you in your life, and continue to when God opens the door, you walk through it. No matter how crazy it seems. I don't want to scare you away, but this is just the beginning, brother. You are a natural up here this morning. He'll be filling in preaching before long, so I just want to go home and start studying. Today we're going straight to the scripture. We're going to go straight to the scripture and see exactly what the qualifications are, what the expectations, what the duties of a deacon are, straight from God's word. Because I want to tell you this morning, if you will continue to allow God to work in your life, he will produce a huge harvest, not only in your ministry, not only in your career, not only in your life, But in your marriage and your children and then their children and then their children and then their children, just like we're seeing with you guys and your children now. It's not something to be taken lightly, but this is an exciting, exciting celebration today that we are celebrating the ordination of a new servant in our church. You are publicly committing yourself this morning to be a servant of the Lord. Not just a servant of Fork Union Baptist Church, but a servant of the Lord. These services are always powerful because it always challenges and encourages us who are already ordained, whether it be a minister or a music minister, a pastor, or maybe a deacon, an elder of a church, whatever it is. It encourages us and reminds us what we're supposed to be doing, those who are ordained. But it also encourages and challenges all of us that we are to commit our life to the Lord. And it also encourages those who that are ordained to remind us what we are supposed to be doing. So let's read 1 Timothy chapter 3, and we're going to go to verse 8. If you want to skip down to verse 8, and we're just going to go to 13. This is what Paul says. Paul was writing to the young minister. So it's kind of like me preaching to the younger Danny, which he's not that much younger than me. He's way bigger than me. But anyways, but Paul is preaching to this young minister. He's writing to this young minister, Timothy, and he's trying to give him these encouragement. I mean, this is toward the end of Paul's life, and he's trying to pass these things on to him so he knows. This is what he says. Verse 8, he says, "In the same way, deacons must be well respected and have integrity." Integrity is that thing that you do, that you know what you do when nobody else is watching. When even nobody else will know about it, integrity does what's right. I'm going to quit preaching and read God's word. "They must not be heavy drinkers or dishonest with money. They must be committed to the ministry. To the mystery of the faith now revealed, and must live with a clear conscience. Before they are appointed as deacons, let them be closely examined. If they pass the test, then let them serve as deacons. In the same way, their wives must be respected and must not slander others." So you got to quit slandering people, all right? You hear me, Lauren? "They must exercise self-control and be faithful in everything they do. A deacon must be faithful to his wife, and he must manage his children and household well. Those who do well as deacons will be rewarded with respect from others and will have increased confidence in their faith in Christ Jesus." That's a big charge this morning. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Well, Father, we just love you this morning. Lord, I just thank you for allowing me to be a part of this service today. And we call it an ordination service, Lord. But Danny's not being ordained by me. He's not being ordained by this church. He's ordained by the King of Kings. Lord, he's ordained by you, the God who created him and knit him together in his mother's womb. The God who spoke of him in Psalm 139 when he says, "Every day of your life was recorded in my book." That's the God. That's the one who is ordaining my brother this morning. Lord, the same God that wants to ordain each one of us here to follow your will and to be obedient to your calling in our life. So Lord, as we go through this, Lord, let us all be moved. Let us all have that good place, that let plow over that fallow ground in our hearts, Lord, this morning, so the seed can fall on good soil this morning, and that we will hear your words. I know the service is revolved around this couple here today, and Danny and his wife and his family, Lord, but we all have a chance to grow whenever we hear the preaching and the teaching and the reading of your word. And we know that your presence is with us here today. So Lord, we just pray that you're with us and that you will speak to us in Jesus' name. Amen. So the first thing that I want to point out this morning that Paul is telling this, or when he's writing this, especially in these few verses, if you go up to the beginning of chapter 3 sometime and you read back through that, or you can read through it now if I've already lost you and you're zoning out on me, go ahead and read that, okay? Just kidding. So anyways, he was talking about the leaders in the church. He was talking about the ministers, the elders, the overseers, the pastors of the church. He had just given them a challenge. And if you go back, he says, this is what he says. He says, in the same way. So he's just talking about what the elders and what the pastors should be doing. Then he gets to the deacons and he says, in the same way. See, the qualifications aren't much different between a pastor and an elder and all that and it is than in a deacon. So I was teasing you about being ready to preach, but you really need to be. Many people think of a deacon as someone who takes up the offering or does the welcoming or the opening on Sunday mornings. Some churches might even see somebody who maybe grew up in an older church or something might have a bad taste in their mouth when they hear the word deacon because they think of stern old men that lord over people like it's a company's board of directors or something. And sadly, in some churches, this can be a reality. But that's not the purpose of the deacons. You see, the deacon word, original word, was diakonos, which means servant, which means minister, which means that you are to be a helper to others. We see the first deacons in the New Testament church, just like we were talking about in the sermon that we talked about the brick meeting house. We were in Acts chapter 2. If you go to Acts chapter 6, we see the first deacons that were appointed. This is what it says. But as the believers rapidly multiplied, the church was growing by thousands, by the thousands every day. There were rumblings and discontent. Well, we don't have that problem in the church anymore, do we? Anyways, the Greek-speaking believers complained about Hebrew-speaking believers, saying that their widows and their widows were being discriminated against in the daily distribution of food. And so the 12 disciples, they're ready to pull their hair out. They got all these people going at and coming at them from every different angle. Sometimes it's like that as a pastor, like you just can't handle everything that people need to pull from you. So the 12 called a meeting. It goes on in verse 2 to say this. The 12 called a meeting with all the believers. They said, we apostles should spend our time teaching the word of God, not running a food program. Now, he didn't say the church shouldn't run a food program. He said, it's not the pastor's role to do that. He said, and also, brothers, select 7 men. We already got them beat. We got 12. Select 7 men who are well respected and full of the spirit and wisdom. And give them this responsibility. Then we, the apostles, can spend our time in prayer and teaching of the word. See, the deacon body or the deacon fellowship, the deacon board, however you call it, whatever the church calls it, is to be a group of servants who is there to serve the body. The deacons were appointed to help the minister in administrative duties in the church, to take care of the behind-the-scenes things so the minister could spend more time in prayer and all those things. Their function was to relieve the minister so the minister could concentrate on studying the scripture and saying, God, what do the people need to hear today? What do I need to hear that I can relay to the people? The preaching and the teaching of the word. Deacons were there to meet the daily needs of the believers in the church. They were there to help the widows, the poor people, the widowers, all those things. They were there to help the sick and the poor. However, this does not mean that the ministers are exempt from ever helping somebody. This doesn't mean that I can say, all right, I got 12 deacons. I can sit back on easy street. I don't have to be involved with the firewood ministry. I don't have to come help on a work day, or I don't have to do Meals on Wheels or anything like that. That's not what we're talking about today. But as I keep bringing this up, nor does it mean that a deacon should never pray, nor does it mean that a deacon should never be ready to teach and to preach God's word. So in the early church, both ministers and the deacons served in both areas, but they were able, because of each other and their service, they were able to really concentrate on their ministry. So it is with the role of the deacon now in the church. This is why the Bible gives us such detailed qualifications for overseers, pastors, and ministers and deacons. In verse 8, we see the deacons must be qualified. They must meet personal qualifications. Deacons are to be worthy of respect, and they are to have integrity. Now, this doesn't mean that deacons should be walking around long face. It doesn't mean that you can never smile. It doesn't mean that you can't ever joke around. It doesn't mean that you can't make mistakes. It doesn't say you have to be perfect. It simply means that as a deacon, you should be serious-minded in your commitment to Christ. Serious-minded. Just like the bracelets that a lot of the men here are wearing, wholeheartedly committed to the Lord. If you're serious-minded in your commitment to the Lord Jesus Christ, Danny, I'll tell you from experience, if you just get to that place, and even when you do fall away, when you get back to that place, you'll be like, I'm supposed to be wholeheartedly committed. You won't have to worry about being a heavy drinker. You won't have to worry about being dishonest with money. And that's just two of the sins he just names out. We don't have to worry about all those things if we're that deeply committed to Christ. Because if we're that deeply committed to Christ, we're not going to want to do those things. Amen? Titus chapter 2, 11 and 13 say this. For the grace of God has been revealed, bringing salvation to all people. And we are instructed to turn from godless living and sinful pleasures. We should live in this evil world with wisdom, righteousness, and a devotion to God while we look forward to the hope that we have, the wonderful day when the glory of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ, will be revealed. See, if we're committed to following and serving Jesus, we'll automatically be full of respect and integrity. People will see that there's something different in our lives. And you know why? Because Jesus will never, never, listen to me, church, Jesus, God himself will never tempt us to do wrong. So when temptation comes knocking, don't think it's the Lord tempting you, because the Bible is clear that God will not tempt us to fall into sin. Look at verse 9 and 10 back in 1 Timothy. We see that a deacon must not only meet personal qualifications, but you must meet spiritual qualifications too. The first spiritual qualification listed is the fact that a deacon must be committed wholeheartedly to the ministry. The deep truth of the faith is what the NLT says. What does this mean? So what does it mean to be dedicated or really just concentrating on the deep truth, to be committed to the deep truths of the gospel? If you go down a little bit further in chapter 3, a few verses down, go down to verse 16. Paul gives us these deep truths. This is what he says, 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16. Without question, this is a great mystery of our faith. Christ was revealed in a human body and vindicated by the Spirit. He was seen by angels and announced to the nations. He was believed in throughout the world and taken to heaven in glory. See, a deacon is to believe the gospel of the good news of Jesus Christ. A deacon is to just keep it simple, brother, and to believe that Jesus, just like the children's message, just like your wife just taught the kids, that we're ugly, we're sinful, we fall into sin, but God loved us enough to send his son to die for us. That God came to the earth in a person of the Lord Jesus Christ to preach the love and salvation of God for all men. A deacon must hold tightly to this deep truth, especially in a world that is corrupting and is doing everything it can do to separate the truth and make it into some kind of a feel-good message. Keep the gospel simple. That's the way you do it. Anyone who tries to make it difficult is not from God. The devil wants to distort it. Keep it simple. If you believe that Jesus came to save all who call on the name of the Lord, that's all you need to dedicate your life to, is just remember that and spread that. The rest will fall into place. This is the message that we are to share as deacons and ministers. You see, it's the message of Jesus Christ that will motivate you to continue your role. So if you try to just say, I'm going to go and I'm going to make the pastor really proud of me, and I'm going to serve as a deacon, and I'm going to do all these things, and I'm going to let the church know that I'm doing all these things. Not saying you would do this, but I have to go there this morning because we're humans and we have pride and we deal with these things. Your dedication is to the Lord. And when you do that, you won't get worn out. And when people start, you know, airing out their laundry and they start bringing their sins before you because they're going to look up to you, and that's what we're there for. You have to be dedicated to the Lord, otherwise it'll start to play a toll on you and your ministry. Look at verse 10 and 12. Paul not only addresses you, Danny, but he begins to speak to your bride as well. Listen to verse 10. He says, before they are appointed as deacons, let them be closely examined. If they pass the test, then let them serve as deacons. In the same way, their wives must be respected and must not slander others. They must exercise self-control and be faithful in everything they do. A deacon must be faithful to his wife, and he must manage his children and household well. So, Danny, we're going to concentrate on you for just a few more minutes, and then we're really going to start picking on your wife for a little while. And I know it's awkward. I know it's if you've never been where they are sitting this morning, and you never had this, like I was ordained as a deacon, and then I was ordained as a minister, and it's the most humbling thing to come before people. You feel like you're like, man, I don't want to be. I know this couple here, and I know they don't want all this. They don't want the spotlight on them this morning. But it's a celebration, and it's humbling. It's a humbling experience. But Danny, I want to share with you and this congregation today that you've already been closely examined. I remember talking about this with Doug and Shelby. You've already been closely examined. We didn't like sit down with them with like this big test and was like, okay, get 100 on this, or above 80, you can be a deacon. All right, that's not what he's talking about. He's talking about being closely examined, examining the heart. We were examining you before we even realized as a church that we were examining you, because we noticed you were here serving. We've seen the love that you have for the Lord. We've seen your commitment and the devotion to his word. We've seen your love for God's people. And we know that if we've examined you, that God has most definitely examined you. So even though you probably feel like you're unqualified, you read through this and you say, oh man, or you think about like all the things that you fall short in. We all do. But listen to me this morning. God has ordained this day. God has given you this opportunity. He's examined you. And he wants you and Lauren to be servants, official servants in this church. So even though we're ordaining Danny today, it's important for us to remember that Lauren, you are a part of this too. I'm going to tell you this right now, and y'all, many of y'all know this. I don't have to tell you this. If Jenny was not a part of my ministry, this would have lasted about a week. All right, me being your pastor. Number one, I probably would have, just gave up and quit and been scared to death. Number two, y'all probably wouldn't have hired me in the first place if I didn't have Jenny, okay? She keeps me straight. That's what our wives do. God said it's not good for man to be alone. He needs some help, okay? We're men climb ladders and use chainsaws and mess our shoulders up, and we're not the smartest sometimes. We need women to help us there. All right, we didn't need that many AMs. Amens, y'all settle down. Deacons and spouses who are already ordained this morning, I want you to pay attention. Listen to verse 11. This is what it says. A deacon's wife must be well respected and not slander others. They must exercise self-control and be faithful in everything they do. Lauren, just as we've seen Danny's heart for serving the Lord, we've also seen it in you. We did not plan that this morning to have them right up here doing all this stuff. This is the way it worked out. Isn't that cool? So here you have them serving. We got to see you serving this morning, both of you. We didn't say, hey, it's your ordination service. Let's make it look good and act like y'all do something and get up here. No, it wasn't like that, okay? Danny has already been serving, and Lauren has been faithfully serving and teaching the children and all the things that she does. I'm so thankful for her dedication to teaching the children, because my preteen daughter is one of the girls who's being influenced by her teaching. We've seen you stay true to the faith, Lauren, even in the midst of personal trials in your life. And your family, when they were dealing with the personal trials in your life and tragedies in your life, some people would turn away from the Lord. Some people would say, all right, that's it, God. If you love me, why would you do that? But you remain faithful. You have remained faithful to trust in the Lord. And the same faith, the same trust in the Lord is so important as you serve beside Danny. As a deacon visits and ministers to people, especially when he has to minister and visit women, he will need you there by his side. So often, if you ever notice, Jenny will come forward. If a woman comes up for prayer, Jenny will come forward too, because she's a part of that ministry and she needs to be there. You know what? Men, we'll never figure out you women, okay? We're not. And so a woman can understand what another woman needs more than a man can, okay? And so that's a natural one. And so he's going to need you there in those moments. A strong commitment to Christ and to your marriage is needed for his ministry to be fulfilled. As Danny ministers and serves, he will need you there to listen to him, to be an outlet for him, to be come home and say, oh, I had to deal with this today, or I had to go visit this person today, and it broke my heart, and I need to just talk about it. Be there to encourage him, and of course, be there to pray for him, even when he's not there. He should be able to share things with you in private, which I know he will be able to do, and they will stay there in your home, because sometimes we have to share these things. Nothing should be held secret between a husband and their wife. But it shouldn't be gossip as well. We have to find that fine line. And he should never have to worry about you losing your temper, which I don't think we have to worry about that, but we have to talk about it. And using self-control in the church. Can you just see Lauren going off on somebody? I just can't see it. I mean, I don't know if that's even possible. So don't tell any stories if it's happened, okay? Because I can't see it. You are both in this ministry together. Again, Lauren, you've already proven yourself. You've already seen it. You grew up in this church. Everybody here has seen you grow in the Lord and become a powerful woman of God. You have proven yourself and your dedication to the Lord, to your husband, and to this church. Next, let's go to verse 12. I think you're off the hook for a while. We see that a deacon must be faithful to his wife and that he must manage his children and his household well. Again, Danny, we've all seen your faithfulness to Lauren. We've seen your faithfulness to your family. Every morning when I'm going to work, if I'm not running late, I'll pass Danny and he's always running the kids over to Lolly's house. And he's doing he's running, he's good. And I remember when I was a younger father, when my kids were his age, all of my children, my older two, I wasn't that dedicated. And so I'm encouraged and challenged by the dedication that you have towards your children, the involvement that you have. You are faithfully raising, making, and witnessing in a loving and a Christian home. We're serving the Lord. We're coming to church on Sunday morning is a priority. It's powerful to see, for your kids to see you and you and your wife, their mom and their dad, serving God and it being a priority in their life. Because guess what? If you look around, there's a lot of older people in this crowd. We need younger people to step up, and we need your children. The church need my children. The church is going to need our grandchildren and their grandchildren. But if we don't make it a priority, they're never going to make it a priority. So I say that to say this, keep it up. Lastly, in verse 13, it says this, those who do well as deacons will be rewarded with respect from others. and will have an increased confidence in their faith in Christ Jesus. Danny, as you serve as this role as a deacon, be careful not to let pride creep in. We talked about it earlier. Remember that you were called to be a servant. You were called to be a helper, a minister of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Now, sometimes in a small local church just like this, some of the bigger churches, they have staffed members who are elders and people that make a lot of the decisions. Well, sometimes people think, well, the deacons control the church. Well, sometimes in a smaller church like this, in an older church where we don't have many paid, yeah, the deacons do. They are tasked with fulfilling some of these things where the church has trusted the deacons to make some decisions so every little thing doesn't have to come before the whole church. So there's nothing wrong with that. So we're going to have those moments where you as a deacon are going to have that say and say, yes, I think for the betterment of the church, we should do this. But your main role, our main role as a minister and as a helper, as a servant, as a deacon, is to be a minister of the gospel of Jesus Christ, a diakonos, a servant, a helper. When you stick to giving the same kind of love and grace that God gave to you, that feeling that you had when you came forward and you accepted God's grace is what we should be giving out. People will find it so easy to respect you. You won't have to work to earn their respect. Just like we've already seen, not only as a deacon, but as a man and a man of God, people will respect you. They'll look up to you. They'll come to you in their time of need, but you have to be ready. And what's really powerful is God wants to use your faithfulness as a light to others. So God, you don't even know it, but there's somebody here today that's seeing your commitment to the Lord and you stepping up to the plate, and they're saying, one day I need to do that, or maybe I need to do that. You know what? Somebody came to me this week and said, or this year, and said, you know, I want to nominate you as a deacon. And you said, no, I'm not good enough. I'm not ready for that. That person today is probably being encouraged and being challenged by seeing your commitment to the Lord. Other people's faith should grow by watching you and Lauren serve the Lord. Other people's faith should grow by watching you two serve each other. Other people's marriages should get stronger by watching you serve each other. Other people's faith should grow by the watching you and Lauren serve this church body. So I want to close with Mark chapter 10. If you've got that, Mark, I want you to go to Mark chapter 10. And we're going to close with this. If you'll find verse 42. Mark chapter 10, verse 42. We're going to read from there for just a few minutes. Now I want to remind you this morning, this is Jesus talking this morning. This is what he says. Starting at verse 42. He says, so Jesus called them together and said, this is what he says, you know that the rulers in this world lord over their people. Don't we see all kinds of leaders that are like this these days, especially? They've always been like that. They get a power. Have you ever known somebody at work that you know and that you worked alongside and they get promoted and all of a sudden it's like you're like, whoa, what happened to them? Their head swells up. All right, it's been like this since the beginning of time. So Jesus called them together and said, you know that the rulers in this world lord over their people, and officials flaunt their authority over those that are under them. But this is what he says. I love this. And this is, I've got to underline in red in my Bible because I want to remember it myself. But among you, it will be different. Danny, among you, it will be different. Whoever wants to be a leader among you, this is Jesus talking to his disciples. Whoever wants to be a leader among you must be your servant. And whoever wants to be first among you must be a slave to everyone else. A slave to everyone else. For even the Son of Man, even Jesus himself, came not to be served, but to serve others. Even to give his life as a ransom for many. That's some powerful, powerful words in Scripture. So anytime you start thinking, why in the world am I doing this? Oh man, I'm tired. You know, I'm like, you know, I've been working and my shoulder hurts, you know, or whatever. I've got other plans, but we're going to make a hospital visit or whatever it is. Go back to Mark chapter 10 and be reminded, I have to do it. We all have to do it. We're human. And we wear out and we get tired. But when you look and you see what Jesus gave, even Jesus left his perfect place in heaven, just like the children's message said, to give his life for a ransom for people that didn't even care. So sometimes as a deacon, you're not going to get a lot of thank you, man. I appreciate what you do. But God sees it. And you'll be rewarded in that gold bag. You're going to get a Mr. Good Bar one day in heaven. And it's going to be the sweetest taste in Mr. Good Bar you've ever had. So that's what we should be worth. That's what we should be pressing on that Paul talked about when he wrote to the church. He said, press on. Keep pressing on. And so I just want to encourage you this morning, keep pressing on. I want to encourage you this morning, if you're here this morning, if you've never accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, if you've never taken that first step of commitment, we're going to close the service a little bit differently today, but don't leave here today. Pull us aside. I want to pray with you this morning, and I want to introduce you to the Savior who saved the lost sinner in the glory. If you want to join the church in those things, don't let the different normal way that we do things this morning throw you off from that. If the Holy Spirit is calling you, respond. Even if it's after the service, let me know. But what I want to do is any ordained deacons, it doesn't matter if you were ordained in another church, doesn't matter denomination, any ministers, any pastors, anybody that's in the crowd today, I want you to come on forward right now. Anybody who's ever been ordained as a deacon, I know you're a bunch of humble people, but get on out the seats and come on up this morning. We're glad to have you here. We want you here a part of this. Danny and Lauren, I'm going to ask if y'all will come up front and stand. Yeah, y'all look... So what we're going to do is y'all just kind of, y'all split up kind of gather around them. And if the closest people there, we don't have, go gadget arms. But if y'all just lay hands on them, and if we just lay hands on everybody, we'll just do this. This is something that is biblical, that's been passed down in the church. And it's what we do. We lay hands. The Bible says lay hands and bless people. Lay hands and pray for healing, all those things. We're relying on the power of God to come down and work through us when we pray. Amen? And so I know it seems kind of weird. It seems like we're doing some kind of train or chain here, but this is a powerful part of the service. This is us as a church. This is us as a body of believers. Us as a church that is trying to our best to follow Jesus Christ to say we recognize the calling in this couple's life. Amen? And so we're going to pray over them today. And then when we get done, I'm going to ask the deacons if they want to start by doing that. But I want you to come and either pray, say a short prayer with them, or maybe even just say some, give them some encouraging scripture, give them some kind of encouragement. Get out of the seats and let's come this morning and encourage them in their commitment to the Lord. Amen. So let's go to the Lord in prayer, and then we'll end this with a song. Father, Lord, we can't thank you enough. Lord, I'm so excited. I'm so excited. There is nothing more encouraging for a church than to be ordaining new servants of the Lord. Oh God, it's so powerful. It's just so exciting. But Lord, it's also sometimes a little scary for that person who's making that commitment. And so God, I just pray for the peace that surpasses all understanding to be just wrap your arms around this couple here today. Lord, remind them that they are serving the God who spoke them into existence, that spoke and created the heavens and the earth. God, that's the God that they are serving. That's the person, that's the being that they are serving. And Lord, when they recognize that and when they realize that deep truth of how much that you love them, God, there's nothing to be afraid of. There's nothing to doubt. There's nothing to fear. And so, Lord, I just pray over them today. We pray over them as a church. And we just pray that you watch over them, that the devil will have no place in their house, no place in their marriage. We pray that you will, protect their marriage, their relationship, that nothing will be able to drive a wedge between them. Lord, that we pray for their children. We pray for their grandchildren, their great-grandchildren, and all the way down to their great-grandchildren. Lord, we pray that you will still continue to produce a huge harvest through this family. Lord, we love you. Lord, we praise you. Watch over them. Encourage them. Strengthen them. In Jesus' name, amen.